Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's Friday. You know what that means. Another round of U105 of the Best, our weekly podcast with the top chat, news and interviews from Northern Ireland's best mix, U105. Accents, dialects and vocals were on the tips of Morris and Denise's tongues on U105 Breakfast this week, as were Godzilla and King Kong, thanks to Michael from Movie House Cinemas and his top film picks for the week.
Coming up this morning,
our lovely Belfast accents. Love them or hate them? Where have they ranked in the list of the UK's favourite and least favourite accents?
I'm going to guess fairly well down the list.
And Lulu says she doesn't speak before noon to preserve her voice for the stage. The Scottish singer cancelled over 30 gigs from her last UK tour due to the effects of long COVID and says it was grueling.
There's an idea.
What if I don't speak before noon?
No, after 9 o'clock.
After 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
It would preserve my voice.
Preserve your voice. Preserve your husband's sanity.
Yes, he would be a very happy man. He's going to love you for saying that this morning.
So you were saying about our accent.
Yes. So the Belfast accent, where do you think it might have ranked in...
out of how many?
Well, there's a top 10, but I've got the top 5 here.
Right. So we're not in the top 5, sure.
We are in the top 5. We are in the top 5.
Of the most annoying.
No, we're not even on the top 10 list of most annoying.
Wow.
Yeah, it's on the likability list.
Really?
We actually made the podium.
Maybe it's just us who can't stand to hear our own accents on TV then.
I know, you hear a lot of people saying, oh, don't let me hear myself back. But you know what? There's something sweet about it. I think there is. There's something.
So what's the top 5 then?
Well, the top 5. Okay, Liverpool's at 5. Liverpool.
Okay.
At number 4, London.
That's a bit generic, okay.
South London. Ourselves at number 3. Edinburgh at 2. And Newcastle comes out top in the top UK accents.
Right, I would have put Scousers higher than us and higher than London.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, I love a nice Liverpool accent.
I'm thinking of the Harry Enfield sketch.
Oh, no, I love a nice Liverpool accent. There's nothing nicer. I just, like, it's such a...
Really?
Yes, it's such a musical... sounding, I like it.
They're already, it's subjective. That's the one accent I wouldn't have put high up, but I do like the Geordie accent. I guess that's why Ant and Dec are so popular.
Yeah. I have to say, I can't listen to ours. It's
really?
Yeah.
Well, you might be thinking the sort of Mae McFetridge of the extreme of a Belfast accent.
No, like for example, over Easter.
Yeah.
But I've never seen Blue Lights.
Oh, had you not?
No, I've never seen Blue Lights.
Oh.
So we were flicking through, what are we going to watch? What are we going to watch? Okay, well, what about Blue Lights? All right, we'll give it a go.
You get the ick.
I'm sorry, and I know some of the people in the cast.
No, my husband went to school with Richard Dormer.
No, I'm sorry, but it's sometimes, this is the strange thing that I've noticed, sometimes Northern Ireland actors put on a Northern Ireland accent.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Still, and it doesn't work. And there's a couple of words just really jumped out at me. Like, why are you saying it like that? You don't say it. Maybe they've been told, you know, dumb it down a bit for the UK-wide audience.
I don't know.
Put a rounder edge on our accent, but some of it was just like, oh, my gears were grinding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when you used to watch Coronation Street, and there was Jim McDonald, and he kept saying, so it is. So
I know, but I never watched Corey, so.
I always loved hearing him going into the bar in the accent. I love that.
So sorry, guys. Got through the first episode and that was it.
Thursday morning, movie morning. Michael McAdam from Movie House Cinemas. Good morning, Squire.
Good morning, Maureen.
Oh, hang on a second. Somebody's changed the microphone. Let me see if I can fix it.
Is it this one here?
It is, actually.
Hey, yes. Michael, you move over here, Michael.
You move over there, and I'll sort the
Michael and I are like the two Ronnies now beside each other here.
Yes, well, good morning, everyone. Yes, well, it's Easter, and the kids are still off school, thank goodness for that. And but, you know, the big surprise of last week of all the films, you know, wasn't Kung Fu Panda, as I would have thought, and of course Ghostbusters was in the second week, but actually the Godzilla X Kong film. It was the big, big movie. It took us all by surprise. And the other film that I thought was going to do incredibly well, Mother's Instinct, nobody came to see at all.
So I thought it sounded like an interesting movie, and I quite liked the title. I thought, yeah, that might get people interested, but yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't know. But anyway, kicking off...
If Mother's Instinct had thrown in a massive big dinosaur, you see.
That often helps. Anyway, this week, we're going to kick off with an 18th certificate film. The film's called Monkey Man.
Yeah, and this is starring Dev Patel. You remember him from Slumdog Millionaire, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and Hotel Mumbai.
Yeah, now this is very, very good. Now, because... I mean, Dev Patel is always a very gentlemanly type of character. No matter what film he's been in, he's always played, he's always proper, he's always, you know, just a really, really nice guy. This is an action-packed movie, kicking off, and it's a story of Dev Patel's character. We meet him as a young boy with his mom. And they live outside Mumbai, and they live in the forest area, and the greedy landowners want the forest, and of course these people don't have any money. They live in shacks as it is, and they come in, they take over the whole property. Him and his mom are getting forced out, and in fact there's a major tragedy that affects this young man. So we meet him years later. He's wanting revenge, and he has been working all of these years building up his fighting skills, because he knows he needs to have these skills to get into the people who killed his mom. And If I'm trying to think of what other way I could put this film to you. You know, it is action-packed from start to finish. Kung Fu action. I'm trying to think of another film that comes to mind. But anyway, listen, let me tell you something. If you like action films, it is very good. It's probably be about 15 minutes long. It's probably about 15 minutes longer than what it should be.
Okay.
But action-packed the whole way through, and that would certainly be my recommendation for this week. Moving on to The First Omen. With a 15th certificate.
So this is actually the sixth film in the franchise, and it's starring Bill Nighy, Nell Tiger-Free, Ralph Ineson and Sonia Braga.
Yeah, now this one, if you like your horror films, I mean, I still think the best horror film ever was The Exorcist, and when it comes to real, you know, to real frights and real scares. This is the story of a young girl arriving in Rome to take her vows to become a nun. She's been brought up in an orphanage in America. She was a troubled child. I mean, she admits that herself. And it was only the calming instinct of a priest that kept her calm. And in fact, he brings her to Rome, where she's going to take her vows to become a nun. But that's going to take place in a few months' time. In the meantime, she's working in the church. She's working in an orphanage with other young children, and there's one girl who's peculiar, a little bit odd, and she tries to befriend her. But the girl won't have any part of it. There's something just odd. She stands out among the crowd.
She's the devil.
She's often in the naughty room, which he thinks is particularly strange, you know, because an orphanage shouldn't have children being locked away. Anyway, she's approached by this priest who's been excommunicated from the church, and he's saying to her, there's evil here. There is evil, and you need to know about it. And that's what the story is about, because according to him, the church is losing all of its power, because the church has held its power through fear through generations. And because people are now leaving the church itself wants to introduce evil, but an evil that it can control.
Okay.
And that's what the story's about.
Omen
the
first 6, Omen. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. The last film this week is Seize Them, a 15th certificate.
Now, this is Nicola Coughlan and Amy Lou Wood. Obviously, Nicola's in Bridgerton. It's also got lots of comedians, Jessica Hines, Nick Frost and James Acaster.
Yeah, listen, I want you to think about Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's what you're watching. And we've also one that the kids watch. Horrible histories, that's the thing. That's what the film is. Sadly, it's a 15th certificate, which... you know, it's got a lot of teenagers going to lose out on. But you know, without getting into too much detail, it is funny. It's slapstick English humour of the Monty Python style, and it is what it is. But listen, I'm not here next week because I'm in America. I'm on my patronage to Las Vegas to the big CinemaCon exhibition. Two films that are taking place next week, I want to mention them briefly. First of all, Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse film comes out next week. I think it's going to be very, very good indeed. And also another film called Civil War. It's another 15th certificate following journalists as they travel across modern day United States, because when you see the thing Civil War, you think back to the 1800s. No, a very modern war film. Terrifying in places when you think of us taking place in the world, and certainly worth a watch. And that's the films for this week.
Those are the ones this week, and indeed next week. Thank you, Michael.
John Mulgrew of Ulster Business joined Frank to talk through the success and growth of Northern Ireland's SME businesses with the launch of the Ulster Business Next 200 on the U105 phone-in this week. John broke down the numbers for our listeners and highlighted a few of the top performers.
This is the U105 programme, the U105 phone-in programme, and if you've just switched on, you're more than welcome. Maybe we have a bit of good news for you. I like to look at things positively if we possibly can. John Mulgrew is the editor of Ulster Business. You know that old term, green shoots of recovery and light at the end of the tunnel and all of that? Is it relevant? Because there's the small, medium enterprises, the SMEs, some of them are going in the right direction, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, so this is sort of based on our next 200 edition, which follows on from the top 100. So companies that are sort of 101 on the way down. So SMEs, usually between in this list 20 odd and 50 odd million, is the bulk of it. So overall, profits are up about 11%, and sales are up about a fifth on average. Only about 20 of the companies on the list have made a loss. So there's an indication based on these companies, which are a huge swathe of businesses from across the sectors, and employ, you know, thousands and thousands of people, that there is a strength there. Part of the reason I would say sales going up is, you know, everything's, the cost of living's going up, inflation, everything costs more, so the numbers will naturally rise. But they do tally with the pre-tax profits rise as well, so there is money being made.
So there are some here. Circle K Energy seems to be doing very well, and that's a relatively new motif on the forecourt, isn't it? It's been around, what, 10 years or so?
Yes, I think it's a big all-Ireland business, and they obviously their numbers have gone up in the last couple of years, I think, as well. Their turnover and the pre-tax profits are both up, as far as I'm aware. There's businesses like that have been on the list before. There's new businesses on the list for the first time that have filed accounts for the first time. There's companies that have just shot up the list as well. Charles Brown has come out as number one this year. It's a civil engineering construction firm, part of an overall larger group, and their turnover is up to £137 million this year.
Good if you're in the eggs game and you're part of the Ske Eggs. That's S-K-E-A. We see them on the supermarket shelves all the time, posting turnover in excess of 100 million. Mm-hmm. That's quite money in the hens.
Yeah, I think they were involved in a deal as well in the last few months as well. So that's obviously bumped up their performance as well considerably. So they're now one of the top five within this region. So the other thing as well is this list is sort of the bubbling under list, as we would call it sometimes, and they're likely then to be in the top 100 come the summer based on their performance this year. So there's quite a few companies, a good handful of companies on there that will likely make it onto the big list essentially for the larger companies come this summer.
Now, we shouldn't be surprised that private healthcare is on the up. Kingsbridge Healthcare Group, which is very prominent now, seems to be going from strength to strength.
Yeah, I mean, they've invested a huge amount. They've opened up at least two or three facilities, I think, or extended facilities. They have a new facility in Ballykelly that they've invested in as well, and their turnover's up 30, 40 million pounds in the last year of accounting. Pre-tax profits are 11.5 million, and their employees, now the employee numbers are somewhat a bit skewed because of the listing of the company's house, but they have about 800 staff there as well based on the last filing, so that's obviously a business that's considerably on the up.
For people who are trying to start a business, trying to grow something from a small idea to a medium enterprise, is it a good time? Is any time a good time?
I mean, you know, I suppose I I feedback, I take what I get from speaking to business leaders. You know, I'm not a business leader, and I'm picking up bits and pieces of what they basically told me, I suppose. But there's never really a good time. There's no great time or bad time. You know, if you have an idea and there's a business concept there you think will work and you can get some backing for it, or it's a new concept. And there are majors out there. There's loads of assistance from organisations like Invest in I, even the sponsor of this edition, Go Succeed, which is a government-funded programme as well to help businesses. So there are, if it's an idea, it's a concept that's new, there's huge potential there. And if it's straightforward, you know, a more traditional business of sorts, if you can get finance for it or you can get backing for it, then I suppose this time is as good as any to some extent.
Earlier in the programme, we were talking about living wage and minimum wage and all of that. This new legislation, how does that impact?
Yeah, I mean, the focus tends to be on lower earners. Predominantly hospitality, retail would tend to be the focus of the conversations, and the conversation that have been had in the last few days, even with some of the lobby groups, would be around those businesses and the burden this is going to put on them in terms of their pay bill. Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's something that has to happen to some extent. People have to get paid a wage which will mean they can live on that wage. Certain businesses, I don't think it's going to affect them as much. Most of these, a lot of these businesses, I would say, even things like manufacturing, construction, civil engineering, are all on, would be on fairly strong wages anyway. But in, certainly in terms of organisations, I would say within hospitality in particular, that have hundreds of employees, this will have a tangible knock-on effect into the... And then the other thing as well is they would sort of tend to say that as a result of a pay increase from staff earning less, management may want to earn more based on proportionate pay rises as well. But I don't think it, you know, the National Living Wage and the minimum wage has gone up, you know, every other year or every year to some extent, and businesses have basically had to kind of take that on board as part of their overall balance sheet.
And charge more to the customers too, probably, because
that's one of the ways of getting it back.
So we often hear about the litany of challenges, the obviously the Windsor framework and all the fallout from that, the staff shortages, skills shortages, high interest rates, inflation, cost of living crisis. We could go down through the list that's been discussed and debated many a time, but we do seem to be beyond surviving. There's a strength in the business sector at present, which has to be seen as good news.
Yeah, and if you look at this list in the top 100 in the last few years, aside from a few blips, most of the companies have performed well. Now, this company, the list does fluctuate, so there are probably businesses that have dropped off and been added on, and those that are doing better than others. A lot of businesses are maybe sort of staying under the radar because they're doing very well, and maybe they don't quite fill into this cost of living crisis, the impact of inflation. Skill shortage is a huge thing. Within manufacturing, for example, you know, people I would speak to would say that, you know, they're holding on to staff for dear life because getting those skilled staff, whether they're from here or from EU or outside, is nigh on impossible to get that skill set back. So I think that retention is a huge thing. And skills, you know, I discussed this at a roundtable recently, skills is a massive, massive problem, and it's trying to figure out whether it's basically so the private sector can feed into the public sector and say, this is what we need. You know, do we need people to come out with masters and doctorates? Probably not. Do we need people skilled in these specific areas, whether it's something as minute as milling or welding or tech or whatever? You know, we need to work out what we need, and people then can sort of facilitate themselves and kind of decide what they want to do as a career and take it from there.
And what percentage of businesses would be recruiting at the moment? Because they seem to be advertising all the time, yeah, looking for staff.
I mean, I think one of the last surveys said sort of the bulk, maybe 50 or 60% were on the hunt for staff. It could be, it's probably more than that now to some extent because of certain industries maybe losing staff. And it is across the sectors. There was definitely a loss due to the changes, obviously, with the Windsor framework and with Brexit, with people basically moving back to where the countries they've come from. So those skills have been lost, basically, and whether that's across hospitality or manufacturing or construction, they would always, you know, most firms would say that they are struggling to get the right people, and certain industries are demanding money and more money and better arrangements and flexible working because they have the ability to shop around.
Well, it's an interesting time for anyone who's involved in business, whether you're running it or you're employed by the business. If you want to find out more, you can read about it in Ulster Business. And John, you're the editor. Ulster Business, available now for people to peruse.
Yep, thanks very much, Ray.
Lovely stuff. John Mulgrew, editor of Ulster Business, giving an overview with us here on the U105 phone.
With WrestleMania XL taking place in Philadelphia this weekend, WWE superstar Drew McIntyre spoke to us here at U105 of the Best. to give us his very own top five WrestleMania moments of all time, and to tell us why Belfast means so much to the Scottish psychopath.
Hi, Drew. How are you? Welcome to U105 for the best.
Oh, thank you for having me, buddy. I am great. I just flew from Nashville to Chicago, got to my hotel room, day of Monday Night Raw, and getting to chat with yourself. So buzzing.
Good stuff, good stuff. Living the dream. Living the absolute dream. I'm going to put you on the spot, first of all, Drew. At U105 for the best, we like to list the top fives of things that our guests are into. So I'm going to come straight to you on this one. What would be your top five WrestleMania moments of all time? They can be your own ones, they can be historic, whatever your top five would be.
Ooh, well, I'm on the spot. So as of this day, this moment, put on the spot, these are the top five, which may change in 1 hour. But in no particular order, me winning the world title in the main event of WrestleMania, my first ever world title, main event. Pretty cool. That was a dream in that when I was a kid. Bret the Hitman Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin from WrestleMania 13. I was a big Bret fan. He was my favorite wrestler in that particular match. It's just what our industry is all about from a physical perspective, from a storytelling perspective, from an emotional connection with the audience perspective. It's just pretty much a perfect match. Speaking of perfect matches, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, their first ever match. I want to say it was at WrestleMania 25. Someone might correct me on that, but I'm pretty good with recalling details of our industry. But Taker Michaels, the first one. Again, pretty much the perfect match. Two guys that had amazing careers spanning over decades and just the perfect story going in, the perfect guys. And the emotional investment from the crowd was off the charts. Again, most of these involve emotional investment because that's really what our business is all about. It's not about the moves in the ring. A bunch of guys can do a bunch of moves. But who really connects with the audience? And The Rock versus Hulk Hogan was another one. WrestleMania, again, I want to say 18. Someone might correct me. But in Toronto, that match was exactly what it's all about. If you turn off the volume, the match was crap. From an in-ring perspective, but that's not what it's about in our industry. If you can have the great match and the audience participation, that's truly perfection.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's, you know, you can have anybody, whether they're a wrestling fan or not a wrestling fan, watch that and just get caught up in all the pomp and circumstance of it. It's a really good one for showing people that, you know, I've maybe been jaded with wrestling or haven't watched it before, to get them back in. It's a really good kind of gateway drug, I suppose.
Now, what's exciting about it as well is going into the match, The Rock's supposed to be the good guy. Hogan's supposed to be the bad guy. But the crowd, as soon as they saw Hulk Hogan, just went right back to little Hulkamaniacs. And they were cheering Hulk Hogan. They were booing The Rock. So, like, the thing about our industry is, no matter what the plan is, whatever you think you're doing out there, if you're really good at what you do, you listen to the crowd and give them what they want. And those guys switched what they were planning to do in the ring, took an entirely different direction because of about 80,000 people telling them, this is what we want. So they're such professionals in front of live, in front of the world on live television. On a giant show like WrestleMania, they were able to adapt on the fly and give the world a phenomenal match that makes my top five today. And I don't know if that's five, but that's certainly...
I think that was four. I think that way we got to four there.
All right, let's get another one. How about Shawn Michaels versus Ramon, WrestleMania 10, the first ladder match in WWE. That was amazing.
Yeah, make my list as well, make my list. But that's a great top five to have. And obviously, with WrestleMania XL just around the corner, you'll be looking to make another moment for yourself as you go up against Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, over the last wee while, you know, you've been trying to make sure that Seth is fully focused on your match. You've not wanted him getting involved in all the bloodline stuff that's going to be happening on night one. But you yourself, you've been kind of poking the bear with CM Punk quite a lot as well. Are you fearful that the distractions that you think that Seth Rollins may have repercussions for yourself with the way you've been going on in Punk the last wee while?
No, a big difference between the two. I injured Punk, took him out, made sure we didn't have that cancer in our locker room. And me making fun of him and talking about him a lot, I just do it because it's kind of funny. Makes me laugh, makes other people laugh. With Seth and the bloodline stuff, that's directly affecting the attention on our title match. And he should be giving his 100% attention to the World Heavyweight Championships, 100% attention to Monday Night Raw, the show that he's the champion of. And he's just a big hypocrite. like he goes out on TV, acts like he's a big hero, but really, I've called him it before, call him it again. It's funnier. You say it with a Scottish accent, but he's a junkie, a spotlight junkie. He can't help himself. He sees The Rock over there on SmackDown. He's like, oh, The Rock casts a big spotlight. I want to get in on that. So he wedges himself into Cody Rhodes' story, gets involved with the Bloodline, knowing what happens in every single Bloodline match. They get involved in every match, spreading himself thin. At this point, I've told him, mate, I wanted you 100%. I wanted you not to spread yourself thin. You're addicted. You kind of help yourself. Get out there chasing that spotlight. At this point, I just need you to show up for our match in night two of WrestleMania on the 7th of April. Whether you crawl to the ring, you're wheeled to the ring in a wheelchair, or I carry you to the ring, as long as you get in the ring, I'll kick you in the face, win that title, get my moment, and me and my fans will have a big party. Then I'll bring the title to Belfast on the 20th of April, and we'll have a mega party. And I've got a lot of family that live in Belfast, so we'll be having a major party.
Ah, awesome. Well, that's what I was going to ask you as well. You know, I fully believe it's when, not if, you come back in this tour with the gold down your waist. How much of a buzz is that going to be? Not just coming to Belfast, but coming all down the UK with that title off the back of having won it in 2020 and not having had the opportunity to do so.
I'm going to be doing some serious making up. Had all these plans for open top buses as the first ever, British champion, first ever Scottish champion to get up and down, England, Scotland, get to Ireland as well. Like I say, a lot of family over there and celebrate like bloody hell. We did it. A Celt Scott got the belt, but unfortunately the world shut down. The first time I won it and the second time I won it, the world was still shut down. So, I pushed ahead. WWE gave the world an escape when every other sport and entertainment company shut down. We're very proud of that. I'm proud that I was leading the charge, but finally, I'm going to get my hands on this title with the biggest WrestleMania of all time. One, for me, because the other two title reigns were for everyone else. But at the same time, everyone's welcome to join the party when I get back home and I travel in the UK tour, I travel to Belfast. Every night is going to be a major party. So make sure the Guinness is flowing, the Tullamore Dew is flowing. And if you're under 18, maybe some water's flowing as well.
Now, you've wrestled in Belfast quite a lot, both in the WWE and outside of the WWE as well. From your time in the independents, is there any matches that stand out that you've had over here in Belfast?
Well, it was fun when I was there. It's hard to pick out a particular match. But anytime I came to Ireland in general, be it Northern or Southern Ireland, the fans are just mental. They're great. It's the same in the UK. Like, that's the difference. Like, being in America, where like tonight in Chicago, that'll be the closest thing you get to fans back home in the UK and Ireland. Just for the passion, but not just overreacting because, that's what we do. We're into this show. Oh, that was a great moment right there, but genuinely so emotionally involved. You're ready to leap the barricade. You're ready to battle someone beside you because they feel different than you do. Like basically like a football atmosphere is exactly what it's going to be like tonight. And that's what it's like back home. And I love that because when our people are invested in something, when they're passionate about something, when they love something, they give it their all.
Magic. Well, when you do come to Belfast on the 20th of April, if you are out celebrating, there's a Guinness on me and the Cathedral Quarter for you there.
Quality. That's one of about 100.
Smashing.
Resident health expert Jane McClenaghan spoke to Carolyn on U105 Lunch a few weeks back about fibromyalgia and long COVID. With the sponsors to this chat still making their way to the studio, we thought we'd let you hear the chat again to raise awareness for the symptoms and what the diagnoses may entail.
It's U105 Lunch. It's almost 2:30 and I'm delighted that our guest, Jane McLennan, or what I should say guest, she's a resident. Hello, Jane. Welcome to the Bistro. How are you?
I'm good, Carolyn. I am a resident. I live here.
You live here. You just take a wee break now and again.
Yes.
And you're saying to me you enjoyed your holiday.
Oh, we had a great holiday. Yes.
You took your bikes with you or did you hire them out?
No, we hired the bikes when we were there. Right. So did lots of hiking, lots of biking, lots of outdoorsy stuff. It was good.
Jane and Nev went to Lanzarote. Now, you always just assume that Lanzarote is just going to be a beach holiday where you're just going for the sun, but you didn't attack it like that. No, you did something completely different.
Totally different. So we hired bikes, electric mountain bikes, went way up into the hills. It's all volcanic, so we were away up for miles and miles, did loads of hiking, and the weather wasn't brilliant, so it was actually perfect.
Yes.
Okay, it was really
good.
Fun.
Out for walking, yes.
Really good. Right,
because if it was too hot, you couldn't do
that. Sure, and also, I didn't really want to go and lie on a beach.
That's not what you wanted.
Not my thing. So, it was good fun.
But
good fun.
We're going to talk today about then fibromyalgia. We're talking about post-viral fatigue and long COVID. Mm-hmm. And First of all, someone just jumped in there and says, how do they actually find out that, and that's a good question, how do they find, the GPs find out that you've got fibromyalgia?
It is a really good question, and it's one of those things that I suppose would be called a syndrome, and it's a collection of symptoms. There's no blood test for it. There's no definite, you've got this, this, this and this, therefore you have fibromyalgia. It's actually quite hard to diagnose, and that's why often it goes misdiagnosed or it's missed completely. So there is a questionnaire that GPs would go through with you. You might not know they're going through the questionnaire, but they would ask you certain questions, and also they would run a blood test for inflammation. Now, the blood tests for inflammation are really general, so it could be inflammation anywhere in your body. It doesn't mean that you've got fibromyalgia if you've got raised markers for these, but it's more a symptomology thing. So it's more looking at that person and going, right, well, you know, is there pain all over the body? Is sleep affected? Is mood affected? Things like brain fog can be part of this. Digestive issues can be part of it. And there's so many symptoms of fibromyalgia or long COVID or post-viral fatigue.
And is it the same for everybody or is everybody different?
Everybody's different. Yeah. And there can be different severities of it. So some people have that sort of muscular pain that is very associated with fibromyalgia all the time. Some people it comes and goes with. Some people, if they're under more stress or have suffered a trauma, that makes things so much worse as well. So there's different factors that can affect them, the symptoms. But it's a really good question. How do they diagnose?
I know that from people who have spoken to you have fibromyalgia, that it's frustrating because some people don't think it's a condition at all.
Yes.
And they find it really hard to explain what it is that they're feeling. And that must be just really annoying when people, maybe even in your family, maybe your friends, going rolling their eyes and thinking, it's not really a thing, is it?
I think also when fibromyalgia, like we've been talking about this really for decades now, but I remember years and years and years ago, maybe when I was maybe in my teens, there was, ME was a thing, and it was called yuppie flu at that time. Do you remember?
Yes.
So it was really dismissed.
Yes.
I think there is more recognition of it now, but not enough.
Yes.
So fibromyalgia, post-viral fatigue, chronic fatigue, ME, and also now long COVID are all very, very similar conditions, and they have similar symptoms. And also from a medical point of view, you might be treated with things like, something to help relieve pain, for example, or maybe antidepressants or beta blockers. And certain people will respond to different medications, but there's no, here, take this, and that's going to help.
Yes.
So often, actually, diet and lifestyle can be so super important for you if you've had a diagnosis of one of these conditions, because it's a way that you can not totally eradicate symptoms, but manage symptoms and help yourself. So kind of taking it into your own hands, not completely, but certainly alongside the medical point of view and working with your GP, but also looking at other, I hate to use the word alternative because it is not alternative, it's complementary to your medical treatment, but looking at other ways that you can manage your symptoms as well.
So people come along to you, Jane, I know that you do this, and have you been in the situation where someone has said to you, I've been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, I need to change my diet, I need to change my lifestyle, and do you sit down with them and then ask them, well, what do you eat in a day?
Yeah.
What exercise do you do in a day? What do you do? And then you would then change that up for them.
Yes.
With a better diet and a better exercise regime. Have you seen the benefits of that and people's lifestyles change?
Massively.
Right.
Yes. So what I will do with a client, before we do any consultation, I'll get them to fill out a questionnaire. And that questionnaire will ask them about things like their digestive system, their mood, their energy, very general questions. Any medication they're on, any supplements they're taking, and to keep me a 3-day food diary. And then I look at that with them and go, right, well, there's certain things here that you could not improve, because quite often people have already looked at their diets and already they're eating a really good diet, but it's optimizing it in relation to their symptoms. So, for example, we know that there's research to show that an anti-inflammatory diet, which means bringing in lots of really good oils, for example, olive oil, adding olive oil into your diet has been shown to reduce pain for people with fibromyalgia, but it won't do it just on its own. Or cutting out gluten for some people has been really beneficial. Reducing sugar has been really beneficial. So it's finding the right fit for that client. Mm-hmm. And there's no one size fits
yes,
all.
Of course.
Which also makes it trickier yes. as well. But there are certain things that anybody with any of these conditions, whether it's the pain and the fatigue with fibromyalgia, whether it's that post-viral fatigue, whether it's the sleep disturbances, it's, you know, any of those symptoms, if you look to your diet, there are things that we know from research that can make a difference.
Right.
Not to everybody, but mm-hmm. they're worth a go.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to look at mm-hmm. today. Just a few questions coming in there, Jane. Good. I see Ali's asking, she says, it's very frustrating whenever you don't know what's wrong with you. I have terrible muscular pain. It's associated with fibromyalgia. So you forget about that too, the muscular pain.
Yes, very much. Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually one of the defining features that would differentiate between fibromyalgia and something like chronic fatigue, yeah, for example, sure. is the muscular pain. Mm. So, and the symptoms are really widespread. So they can include fatigue, sleep disturbances, muscular pain, as Ali said, cognitive dysfunction, like, you know, your memory, your concentration, those kind of things can be affected, as well as your mood. So it can increase anxiety, affects mood and depression, headaches and migraines, and also digestive problems and IBS. There's a, seems
gosh,
to be a link
so
there
much
too.
To it.
So much. And that's why it's really hard
yeah.
to be diagnosed.
And that's why you'd be really fed up if somebody said, yeah, it's not really a condition.
Yes.
And you're going through all of that. That's awful. Jill in Dundonald says, could you ask Jane, has she heard of polymyalgia rheumatic?
Yeah.
Pain is unreal. Only medication is steroids, which I hate, but at least it kills the pain. What is that?
Polymyalgia is associated with fibromyalgia. So it's, again, a very, very similar. It's set in with those same conditions, and it's the pain. Fibromyalgia and polymyalgia, both of those would be pain right throughout your body. Mm. So very similar.
Jill, that's awful. So you could actually say to Jane, instead of taking the steroids or with the steroids,
with,
here's
yeah.
what you would be eating.
Yeah.
And here's what you would cut out.
Yeah. Right. So I would never say that this is you do this instead of the medication. The medication alongside your diet, your nutrition, your lifestyle, and working with your GP, and if you've got a consultant, you might not have, but eventually it may be that you can change your medication or reduce your medication in some cases, but it's certainly managing. It's the two together.
Would you bash out some squats in public just to get a free lift into town? This was just one of many topics that Johnny and Linda laughed their way through on U105 Drive this week. And if you've ever done something unusual in public transport, let us know in the comments.
You're listening to U105 Drive with me, Johnny Hero, and our Linda's in. Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Right.
How are you? You know, I went to the movies last night.
Pictures.
The movies.
No, nobody says movies.
But I have to say movies because I can't say film.
Except go say pictures or picture house.
Pictures.
Right,
pictures.
The magic picture show.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only people who say movies are people in movies, you know?
Ah, right. Well, I'm going to say movies. So I went to see King Kong and Godzilla. Now, this got two stars from...
Listen, it sounds too many already.
It's absolutely...
You're a bum.
You've never seen it. You haven't seen it. I thought it was brilliant. I really did. I mean, I know it's CGI, but it was amazing.
And it's aimed at four-year-olds.
Oh.
Right.
Right.
Is there anybody in it except two big monsters?
Yes, there's a guy called Dan something, and he used to be in...
No, oh, I'm going to watch it now.
He used to be in... it's very good, honestly.
Macbeth?
He used to be in...
At the old Vic?
No, he used to be in Downton Abbey, but he's been in loads of stuff. Dan Stevens is his name. But I just thought it was brilliant. I mean, just to watch it visually, it was brilliant to see. Really good to see. If it's your type of thing, you're going to love it. Because
right.
sometimes we get our type of thing and it's rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
So I really liked it. That's what I would recommend.
Now,
go.
Susie California's coming over to stay with us for
yes.
a week.
So she is, yes.
What are you doing with her? She's listening, like,
oh, is she
are you
right?
taking her? Well, I'm sure she is.
What are you doing with her? So we're taking her...
You know, people come over and you've got to look after them.
Yes, you do.
But so, I just wonder, you know, where you organise wee nights out and all?
Do they want to be...
Do they want to go out?
I know they might...
I can be...
couldn't be bothering out with him. I just want to lie in front of the TV.
Or I just want to do my own thing.
Yeah,
you see,
you don't know.
No, you don't know. So we're going to the Titanic, A Night to Remember, which is on the 14th. And it's the 112th anniversary of Titanic.
Right.
And so you can book different, you know, different schedules. You get a guide to walk you around.
Yes, I know. Well, does she like Game of Thrones?
I don't think she's ever watched Game of Thrones.
All right, because if she was, there's a day out as well, the Game of Thrones thing, you know, trying to think of wee touristy things.
Yeah. So,
but as you say, you don't want people getting home and people say, well, what was Belfast like? And she goes, I never got a minute to myself. I'm knackered. All they do is go out. I'm tired.
So that Titanic, A Night to Remember, it looks absolutely brilliant.
Right, okay.
On the anniversary, so... So you're going there once.
There's one night. Now,
yes.
How much is a bus fare into a town from where you live, do you know?
I have no idea.
Because you always drive.
I always drive. And it's not that I wouldn't take the bus. I just wouldn't. I've always driven.
Nearly died when I found out how much the bus was into town from where we live.
How
I
much?
Was like, what?
How much was that?
It was like £4.50 or something. It was,
on the bus?
Yeah.
No, you made that better.
But then.
You did.
It's ridiculous.
Look, I know why. That's your makeup face. He has a makeup face.
I'm going to. Right.
And he has
I'm
an idealized face. There's no way. £4.50 for getting into town.
I'm telling you.
You can buy a weekly bus pass. For something
again,
like...
Again, when was the last time you bought one?
For a fiver.
When was the last time? Last time you bought onto the bus, you were double-dinging a wee card.
Putting candle wax
with
on
candle
it.
Wax, yes.
We don't suggest you do that. It doesn't work anymore.
No, well, they did away with the ding machines. What are you supposed to put it in a busman's gob? Here, mate, say ding.
Ding, ding. Yes, right, so much is it. Someone will get in touch and let you know.
Can't find it. I've actually googled bus fares and it's not giving me any details.
So why are you telling me this anyway?
So anyway, in Romania, in the city of Cluj in Romania, at the bus stops, they've got this machine.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a ticket machine, but it's got a camera on it. And they're trying to... increase people's fitness.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So they have to run for the bus. It doesn't even stop.
What do you see? They've got a thing and you do 20 squats in front of this camera.
Before you get a ticket.
And it issues you a ticket.
No.
Free.
Oh, wow.
Free. So if you do squats and all in front of this and there's other bus stops have like a, it's like a pressure pad on the street and if you can jog on the spot for a minute... that'll get you a ticket as well.
Hold on a wee second.
Isn't that class?
Could you do... You'd end up paying every time, so would I.
Oh, just I'd do two of them and say, here, I'd pay for everybody. I'd just pay for everybody.
With our knees, we're going to work. You'd be there all day. You would be as well paying.
But that's class, isn't it?
Right, can I tell you this? So years ago, myself, my mum and my Aunt Lily, we went to Rome. And they have a...
Carried off to Belfast from a tenner. Name a good sweet lord.
No! That's not right. I can't be right. There's a busman out there going, that's not right, love. It's not right. So can I tell you about this trip?
I mean, it's not a tenner, is it?
He said, what?
Go ahead.
So can I tell you about this? So we went to Rome and we didn't know how things work. And it's the first time I've seen the hop-on-y, hop-off-y thing on the buses. So we hopped on and hopped off multiple buses and we didn't pay. We didn't know yet. We didn't know there was a ticket machine that wasn't on the bus and you had to get it.
All right.
And you had to buy a day, hop on and hop off.
The thinking was that at some stage a wee man might say, you got a ticket?
Yes.
But you just did it anyway.
No, we didn't do it deliberately. When we noticed was when...
didn't do it deliberately, Your Honour.
When an inspector came on the bus and we were going... A man's looking for a ticket. Did you get tickets? Have you got a ticket? No, we didn't get tickets.
Right.
So we told the man that we were stupid.
And he believed you. That was some acting class.
He was very nice. So he was.
Susie's listening. I can't wait to see you the Titanic, Carrickfergus Castle, Giant's Causeway.
Holy sassy. She's put on a list. That's good, Susie.
That's good.
Susie, we can work with the list.
Brilliant. Paul Baxter says, tell your visitor to go to the Gobbins Cliff Walk.
Wow.
Up near Larne, it's nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Day ticket, says Eddie in Belfast, £4.20.
For a day ticket? So that means you could go and come back? Well, that's good.
Ray the Chelsea fan reminding me I'm entitled to a free bus pass, thank you.
But listen, £4.20 from Carrickduff all the way down and back again is good.
Dale in Twinbrook says £4.70.
Holy sausage. You see,
you know, you add those up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The only thing about getting a bus as well is who's going to carry your rubbish if you're used to bringing stuff home?
Well, I've always got a bag with my laptop and, you know, and copious notes for the show and quizzes and always, you know. But I mean, you know, just wondering.
If you're only getting one.
The problem is, like where we live, the buses aren't regular enough.
No.
Seriously.
No.
Mr. Translink, if you're listening.
I know. Sometimes, you know what I mean? I know, I have a friend.
If you go to the bus stop on spec, you have to bring sandwiches and all that. You'd be waiting there. You know?
We have a friend called Pauline, and I know that she gets a bus from Newton Abbey, and sometimes the bus driver just drives on past. What's that about? How can you just drive on past when you're the. With a designated time.
Yeah.
Yes, just drives on past.
Gig.
Mr. Busman.
You know, it was run late.
But the buses are good.
Oh, this is you trying to keep in with Translink now, is it? No,
the buses are good when they work.
Right, okay.
Not when they go, I mean, at the right, you know what I mean.
There was a dig.
I didn't mean that.
Anyway.
Yes. Yes. How do we talk about buses?
All kinds of things have we names, you know, right? Trying to think what we can. Do you know what the day after tomorrow was called? And don't say Saturday. No, the day after tomorrow, there's a word for it, right? It's called overmorrow. I'll meet you overmorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's very Shakespearean,
that's
right?
Very
okay.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Your tiny toe, your wee toe, or your finger. It's not called your baby finger or your wee toe. It's called your minimus.
Mm.
I was looking these up.
What
okay.
stuff do you read?
Yeah, this is proper stuff to read.
Mm. I wanted to talk about lists. Did we talk about lists before?
The plastic bit on the end of your shoelace is called an aglet.
Oh, well, I knew that.
Right. The rumbling of a stomach is actually called a womble. It's like a Belfast womble. A womble.
Yeah, a womble.
It's a womble. Did I hear a womble there? You know, so that's it.
When was the last time you were given a list? Seriously.
What do you mean a list? What are you talking about?
To do stuff.
To go to shop.
Yes, to go to the shop.
I don't mean when I was a kid. I still get lists because I only come back with half the stuff. I forget.
Why is that? Because you'll start and you'll count it up. Now you've got one, two, you've got four things to get. That's all you have to get, four things, and then you still come back with the wrong thing. What's that?
Listen, there was one day Lisa had the flu and I took the kids to do the big shop, right? And she just told me, you know, make sure you get the meat and all the milk and bread stuff and all of that. And, you know, and I just went, right. I come back with no meat, the wrong beans and a PlayStation. And thankfully, thankfully Lisa was too ill to argue. She just went, oh my God, sick, you know. Daddy, plug the PlayStation in. I'm starving. What else has got a name here? Yes. That, you know, that kind of bloaty, sick feeling you get after you eat too much is called crapulence.
No.
I'm feeling quite crapulent today. Particularly after, like, Christmas dinner kind of feeling,
you're making one of my eyes go funny, and you know one of my eyes only goes funny when...
Right.
Not laughing, darling.
And I'm trying to look. There's a load of these things, right? Do you know na-na-nas and la-la-las in songs are called vocables? Bring out the vocables.
You know when someone is, you can look at someone's face and they're very happy in their own lunchtime. Just look very happy in your own head.
There's things here we don't want to be talking about, but no. The space between your eyebrows is called a glabella.
Right, enough of the words.
Glabella.
I was speaking to a gentleman.
What the boys in Oasis call theirs. They don't have a space.
I was talking to a gentleman who came into the shop today, and he was saying about having a couple of days off, and I had said to him, you know, have you got really a couple of days off? And he says, aye. And I says, but have you been given a list yet? And he says, no, but I know it's coming. Because every time you make plans, the other half will go, well, actually, you're not off from Monday to Friday because you've got a list to do. I love a list.
Yes. No, because funny, even in, you'd be looking at a free weekend or a free couple of nights or something with the band, and Gordy will ring and say, we're going to rehearse or we're going to record stuff. We're doing you're thinking, yes, that'll suit me. So then the band WhatsApp group, that'll suit me, that'll suit me. One by one, fellas drop out. No, got to get that garden sorted, and I've got to paint the tarmac on the street and walk everybody's dog, and all these wee jobs come in, and like, so one by one, you can set your watch back, like, you know.
Nobody's got any free
time. All wee lists get handed out, as you say, you know. Yes, people send me, is my bus not free? It is. Thankfully.
You're okay. Gus.
Tell Susie to grab a coffee from the Foxy Tail at Castle Car Park in Carrickfergus.
Oh, so right? Yeah,
put that in your wee, put that in your wee itinerary.
Yeah.
You'd be meeting Susie with a clipboard, you know, like a wee guy from Butlins or something, you know? Nikki says, my dad gave me a list to do his shopping last Saturday. Now I'm 56 years old. Mm. He handed me a written down list because he didn't trust me to remember. Mm-hmm. He was 95 on Tuesday.
Right. Very good.
Squats. People going on about, thankfully they don't bring in the doing the exercise at the bus stop or you get it for free.
Wouldn't it be?
The need, but beside the wee machine, there'd need to be a defibrillator as well, but you know?
Wouldn't it be absolutely brilliant going past the bus stop and everybody doing their wee bit? I think it would be fantastic. It's a brilliant idea.
No, it's a brilliant idea. It is a class idea.
Yeah.
Right, when are you ruining your own show?
Listen, Friday night, Saturday night and Sunday night. I am. So I'm looking, this is the first weekend going into it with the quizzes that I don't have the quizzes booked up. So I put it out to whoever fancy, maybe you want to take on one of your workmates, maybe you want to take on a family.
When people go on your quiz, they're generally full. So maybe they want to wait till they get to get a bit of drinking.
Well, that's not essentially true. It's not essentially false.
It has happened.
On occasion.
And some of them are a gig. Anyway,
I'm away.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's U105 of the Best. For more talk chat and entertainment, listen in to Northern Ireland's Best Mix on FM, online, DAB, the U105 app, and on your smart speaker. Just ask it to play U105.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.